Okay, listen up. Now, I'm not going to take it long as I would because we're going to have some time for questions and answers also. But I want to continue our theme I had last night about being used by God, being usable by God. I get the mic here, right? Better? And remember the last thing I said last night, instead of cursing the darkness, light a candle where you're placed by God, okay? Now, I've been amazed at this meeting. Almost every message, even though this had not been the direct subject, had been concentrating on the sovereignty of God. And so God is overall control of everything, and we don't know where we're going to find ourselves in our lives in difficult situations, but our determination must be, I'm going to serve God in whatever situation I'm in. Now, I'm going to also volunteer again for anybody that will give me your email address. I'll send you my notes because I won't be able to really do an adequate job tonight on all the characters I want to talk about. But I'm going to mention several people that God used, and a lot of them, we don't know who their names were. But that's good. If we're serving God to get recognition, that's the wrong motive, right? We ought to want to serve God if nobody even knows about it at all except God himself. So some of these people, we don't even know their names. One of them was Paul's nephew. Can anybody tell me what Paul's nephew did? What did Paul's nephew do? What was his name? Do you know what Paul? His name was Paul's nephew. Well, you know, he saved Paul's life. One time, 40 men hated Paul so badly, they made a pact. We're not going to eat or drink unless Paul is dead. And they're going to lie in wait and ambush him. And the nephew heard about that and told Paul. Paul told the centurion. They got Paul out of there. His life was saved. I'm looking forward to meet that guy in heaven and find out what his name was. But isn't that something? So who knows who he was? Now, another guy, the little boy, who, maybe you Bible scholars can tell me over this, all these wise men. What's the little guy's name that had the loaves and fishes? What was his name? No, we don't know what his name was, do we? But you think about that. This little guy, all he did was have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And we don't know what his name was, but the Lord took that and fed the multitude of 5,000. Isn't that amazing? So you may not think you count very, very much. I bet that little guy didn't think he was all that important, but he was pretty important that day, wasn't he? And so the reason I keep preaching is, maybe the reason some of you keep on trying to serve God, if you don't feel like you're very adequate. I heard a guy say one time, God hit a straight look with a crooked stick. So God can use you even if you think he can't. Okay, let's look at a few more characters. What about Barnabas? Barnabas was a great man also. A lot we can say about Barnabas. Barnabas is the one who introduced the Apostle Paul to the rest of the apostles. See, Paul had been a murderer and a blasphemer and hated God's people. And so when he got born again on the road to Damascus, he got converted. Then he wanted to join with the apostles, but they wouldn't have anything to do with him. I don't blame them either. But Barnabas knew Paul. He introduced him. He introduced Paul to the apostles. And then Barnabas was Paul's, they were equal for a while. But then later on, Barnabas began to fade into the background willingly, let Paul take the lead. He had that humility. But Barnabas was used in a great way. Who knows who Onesiphorus was? Let me read you about Onesiphorus. Paul was in prison. And it's probably pretty dangerous to be associated with a guy like Paul. Here's a jailbird. He's in prison. He's lonesome down in the Mamertine prison. Read about that Mamertine prison sometime. That's a terrible, terrible place in Rome. But here's what, so people can say, well, Paul, we'll pray for you. And that's all they would do. Let me read you about old Onesiphorus here in 2 Timothy. And Paul said this, the Lord give mercy to the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me, was not ashamed of my chain. When he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. He probably had a hunt for Paul if he had to look diligently. Maybe he went from prison to prison to prison. He finally found the Apostle Paul. He was a friend indeed. So we could be like an Onesiphorus. You get married, okay? You're married to a good old believer, which I hope you will be. And one of the sweetest couples in the Bible is Aquila and Priscilla. They were a great team, weren't they? So they learned the Apostle Paul. They were tent makers and lived together. They lived kind of together for a while. And so anyway, they learned a lot of things. And so one time there was a young preacher named Apollos. He had a great gift. He was mighty in the word of God, and he was very eloquent. But he had an imperfect knowledge of the scriptures. So, you know, in a case like that, people could have just kind of said, well, we're just not going to listen to him. Or his ministry may not have amounted to anything. But Aquila and Priscilla, what they did, and I'm glad the Bible mentioned Priscilla. That's why, girls, you need to study the Bible as much as the boys do. Aquila knew her Bible just like Aquila did. I mean, Priscilla did, didn't she? Because here what it says, Paul, when the Apollos was not preaching all the truth, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, They took him unto them and expounded unto him the word of God more perfectly. Isn't that good to be a husband and wife team working together like that, like they did that? Okay, another one is I'm just calling these the good women. And I like these good women here because I got three daughters. One of them's in the grave right now, where her body it is. Her soul's not. A little infant we lost in 1991. But I got three daughters named after these good women. These good women actually helped take care of Jesus Christ financially. See, Christ didn't really have anything, even though he owned everything. But yet, when he was a man here, he didn't even have a place to lay his head. He was just an itinerant preacher. And I love what he says in the book of Luke about these good women. And certain women which have been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary, that's my little daughter in the grave, called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Joanna, I got a daughter named Joanna, the wife of Chusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, I got a girl named Susanna, spelled the same way, which ministered in him of their substance. Isn't that great? So these women played a real place, like sisters to the church do today. Some more good women, good helpers. Girls, you got a powerful job to do. Over Philippians, Paul says this in the fourth chapter, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also of my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. So we know they weren't preaching, because women don't preach, but they were his fellow laborers. They're helping Paul out. They're encouraging him, praying for him. I don't know what all they were doing, but they played a vital role in Paul's ministry. A lot of good women here. A lot of good women. Girls got a lot to encourage you. Look at Lydia. Another good woman, that's Lydia. Let's read about her. See, Paul went down to Philippi. We got to open up a door to Europe. The ministry of Paul took a quantum leap in Acts chapter 16. And so let's read this. And a certain woman named Lydia, she had a businesswoman, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. When she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And so in other words, she gave Paul and his entourage, his fellow servants, a place to live while they're there in Philippi. Isn't that great? That's what she did. And Phoebe, a lot of women here, a lot of women. All right, look at old Phoebe. This is the 16th chapter of Romans. I commend unto thee Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord, and become the saints, that ye assist her in whatever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer, that is a comforter of many, and of myself also. Isn't that a lot of characters? Know some of them names, some I mentioned in the Bible only one time, so what? God used them. Let's say, look, God, I'm not looking for recognition, I just want to serve you. And I can serve you just whatever, in different circumstances God places me in. Now I'm going to spend the rest of my time talking about Joseph. What a lesson in Joseph's life. Let me just tell you about his life, and then I'm going to mention about six or seven points about him. Think about this young man, a great, wonderful young man. He's a prime of life, 17. If y'all don't think 17 is a prime of life, you better enjoy it right now, because you get like me, and I wish I was back there sometimes. Energy, brain power, opportunity, enthusiasm. I can see some of y'all just salivating, some of you older people over there. Lynn, especially, I see you, Lynn. 17. What happens to him? He got sold into slavery by his own brothers. What an emotional thing for his own brothers to do that to him. Taken away from a godly place to a pagan land in Egypt where they worship all these old beetles and stuff. As Hannah said one time, she said, hey, what about these old beetles? She wasn't very cultural. She was spiritual, not cultural. Anyway, think about that. So you think, well, he's going to be bitter, or he's going to be paralyzed or something. He's going to be mad. You know, sometimes kids, when bad things happen to people, they get bitter and they get mad and they want to fight back and they ruin their lives. Don't do that when things happen to you bad. He did the best he could where he was. So he sold into Potiphar's household and he became such an able man, Potiphar turned everything over to him. You got to be pretty able, haven't you? He must have been a diligent individual. He's not feeling sorry for himself. Do the best he could. So he's doing the best he can, and that wicked woman, that ungodly woman, tempted him to sin. And that's a real temptation, because he was in a prime of life. His old emotions and his physical drive was right there at the peak. And boys and girls, when you're driving at the peak, you need to serve God, not to commit sin. So Joseph refused that offer of that woman, and she repeatedly came on to him. You can do the same thing. You got to do the same thing. You want God to use you. And then She lies about it and gets him thrown into jail. Man, what in the world? Don't you know he had some hard times probably working through all that? I bet he did. This is not Bible, but it's still pretty good. Here's what I think happens when bad things happen to us. Have you ever thrown a cat up in the air? Now, don't do that. Don't be cruel to animals. But if you throw a cat up in the air, he'll twist around. He'll always land on his feet. I thank God children always land on their feet. We may twist a little bit. So anyway, in prison, instead of feeling sorry for himself, he's so diligent, they make him a trustee in the prison. And that's amazing. Well, then God, he's watching him now. He's getting opportunities. Now, the point I'm going to make here, 17 years old when he went in prison, but he was 30 when he got out. That's a long time, isn't it? A long time. He probably thought, oh, no, I'm the prime of life, and my life is being wasted. His life is not being wasted. He's going to God's school. God knew what he wanted him to do. He gave him ready for it, right? He gave him ready for it. So you're going to God's school too, kid. We don't know that all the time. We're going to God's school. Let's try to be patient in whatever school God's putting us through. Anyway, you know, he got to tell the dream to the butler and the baker. And he told them, see, well, remember me. And they forgot, the one of them got, you know, executed. But the one that didn't get executed, he forgot him. So 2 more years in prison. But he's still hanging in there. And then finally, God gave him the great opportunity. Because Pharaoh had that dream. And finally that guy, the light bulb went off in these comic strips and the old guy's heads. Oh, I remember Joseph down there in prison. So they got him out of prison. And my friend, he became the number 2 man in Egypt. Now let me mention, as I'm closing now, this is pretty fast, but get this. Let me get 7 points out of Joseph's life I'm getting. Number 1, acceptance. He accepted the circumstances he was placed in. We have to do that. He accepted the circumstances he was placed in. Number 2, he was a hard worker. He was a hard worker. I only encourage you to be a hard worker. Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that I, the Lord, you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. You serve the Lord Christ. That's the Colossian letter. Okay? Work hard. Work hard. Don't be lazy. Number 3, he is patient. He had to wait a long time. Patience is hard, isn't it? I remember one time, I think it down at David McAvella's house when he had a bunch of kids at home. Josh, you may remember this. And they started playing this little record. I got tickled and said, I've been waiting long enough. Give me some of that patient stuff. That's what we feel sometimes. We got to learn how to be patient, have we? And then, my friend, integrity. Integrity. When nobody's watching, God is watching. He could have said, well, I'll go ahead and commit sin with this woman. Nobody knows it anyway. She wants to keep it secret. I'm not with my family anymore. Let me tell you something. God's always watching us. God's always watching us. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and the wicked, aren't they? So God's watching us. Let's maintain our integrity. You can really tell about a person, what do they do in the dark? What do they do when they're by themselves? What do they do when they're private? That's when you can tell a person's character. Okay? Let's remember that next time you get that computer at night, okay? That's when you can tell a person's character. What are they when nobody else is watching, but God is watching? And then also humility. He was so humble, thank God. How could he be that humble? You thought, boy, when I get a chance to get those brothers of mine, they're going to be sorry. I've suffered down here for 13 years. I can't wait to get vengeance. What did he do? He freely forgave them. He said, boys, God's sovereign. You meant this for evil, but God meant it for good. They couldn't believe that. Even after he told them that in the 50th chapter of Genesis, they again were worried about that when Jacob died. Joseph said, listen, he's a humble man. And he also gave God all the credit when he interpreted those dreams. He said, not me, Pharaoh. God give you an answer. Brothers and sisters, let's always give God all the credit for anything that we do good. And finally, he was a blessing to others. Because even Potiphar said, I learned by experience that God had blessed my household. And you know what? Let me tell you, I wish that our president knew this. I wish that Congress knew this. I wish that the Supreme Court knew this. They don't know this. The most valuable asset our country has got are the dedicated Christians. Don't forget, and you're part of them. Just the fact you're here loving God, you're the best asset our country's got. Let's be salt and light, shall we? May God bless you.